This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so, my fellow Americans,
it's the E-Square Podcast.
E-Square Podcast. I'm your host, Easy Mo, and today we got the musical mastermind, King Vay, in this bitch. What's good, bro?
What's up, my guy?
How you feeling, man?
Blessed, man.
Yo,
blessed.
We got this Bel Air on deck. Cheers to you. Cheers.
My boy,
you being
cheers.
Here, yes, sir. I don't know. I don't know why I do that. Am I supposed to hit the
pop
table?
The cup.
Yeah. I don't know why I do that.
I don't know, man. I don't pop the cup.
That's some college shit. I got to get used to drinking champagne. I'm not that fancy. How you feeling though?
I'm blessed, man.
Hell yeah.
No complaints at all.
Dre's this summer?
Dre's this summer.
We back at it?
We back at it, man.
So how did that phone call go?
The residency joint? I actually signed a residency last year, actually. And then the pandemic hit. I signed literally, I think it was March or April. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to start in May. That's crazy because I'm starting in May this year. Mm-hmm. But I was supposed to start in May and then the pandemic hit and all of that shit. So, shit, the phone call, shit, I was chilling, smoking some weed, and shit, I talked to Dustin. Dustin was like, shit, we back on.
Yeah.
May, second week of May.
Yeah. You've been up there before, right?
Dre's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Vegas. I'm Mr. Dre's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Besides Franny, okay. I don't know nobody who's been at Dre's more than me. So before my own personal residency, I've been with Tip. You know, I play drums for
Tip. Right, right, right.
I did Tip for probably like 5 years at Dre's, 5 years straight type shit. Yeah.
Dre's has to be the premier hip hop club in the world. Is that safe to say? In the world?
Absolutely.
Damn.
Listen, I don't even fuck with clubs. But I fuck with Dre's.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I fuck with Dre's though.
Yeah. It's crazy because it's really the only hip hop club in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real. All hip hop and it's not the only hip hop club in Vegas, but it's upscale hip hop club.
I used to work there.
At Dre's?
Yeah, at the Beach Club.
Yeah,
they had me slaving away up there.
Man.
No, but I fuck with Dre's too, man. I love it up there. I think it's the most beautiful venue on the top.
Like, on the top of the rooftop. Top, and ain't shit like it, man.
Inside, outside, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to going up there. Not as an employee, but you know what I'm saying?
Man, you got
to
come turn up with me one night.
Oh, for sure. I'll be up
there.
See, I'm like you. I'm not a club guy.
But see,
you know what I'm saying?
Dre's is a different vibe,
though.
It is.
It's way more of my vibe, for sure. Because I can't do that EDM shit.
Nah, I can't do that pop shit, EDM shit.
I tried to give it a chance, but it just doesn't resonate with me, bro.
Yeah, man. Shout out Franny, because that nigga, Franny be having that shit popping.
Yeah, and he hates EDM, too.
He hates it. He said, hey, you know what's funny? On the mic, Franny be all night. Yeah. He be like, yeah, this ain't that EDM shit.
Yeah, for real. That's take balls, too, in a city that, like, you know, that we only do EDM out here.
I think Franny got a hat.
Yeah, no EDM. Hashtag no EDM.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's dope. I fuck with it because.
I do, too, but I don't fuck with EDM either.
But, you know, a lot of hip-hop artists are doing that crossover shit and getting that bag.
I mean. Yeah, I guess some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them.
So let's get into King Vay, man.
Let's go.
You came up in the church, correct? Started playing music in the church.
Absolutely, I was a drummer. My mom had a gospel. My mom and dad actually had a gospel group. Mm-hmm. I started playing drums for them, which led to me playing drums at choir with the choirs and churches around the city and shit like that. That's how I started.
Yeah. You know. So how old were you when you started?
I started playing with my mom's group when I was 5.
Oh, okay. So it's in you. Yeah, it's in you, not on you.
Yeah, I mean, my dad played guitar. My mom is a singer. Mm. My the drummer for the group before me was my cousin. My first cousin was my dad's sister's son. Mm. So it's kind of, I'm from a musical family.
So were you introduced to other things growing up, like sports and shit, or was music your life?
I played sports. I was dope as fuck in sports, and I didn't give a fuck about it at all. I didn't care.
Yeah. You probably picked the right route. Well, obviously you picked the right route.
Yeah, I was doing music when that shit wasn't cool.
Yeah.
When niggas was like, you know, playing sports and shit like that. Yeah, you know, I still would play, but then afterwards I was going to band class or something to do with music.
See, I was the opposite, man. I was sports all the time, and my parents never introduced me to music like that.
You would have probably hated me because I wasn't sports all the time, but I was better than everybody.
Yeah. So you the motherfucker that don't even care. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So when did you get your first like real taste of success in music? You know, coming up like through the city. You know, I'm sure you had to pay your dues and all that.
I went on my first tour when I was 19 years old. I went on my first actual secular tour when I was 19 with Shante Moore and Kenny Lattimore.
Okay.
That was my first, you know, look at anything big. Before then, Randall Cunningham, ex-NFL quarterback, he kind of found me. Oh, excuse me, it's fucking champagne.
Yeah, got that bubbly, got you.
Bubbly. Randall Cunningham found me, man. He came. I'm from the Gerson. I was born and raised in the Gerson. So okay. I used to live in Cary Orms. Mm. And you know, to make a long story short, I met Randall through the Guitar Center. I did a drum off at the Guitar Center. Mm. I won it. Randall saw my video and started looking for me. One time I went to the Guitar Center, they asked for me. And meeting him, long story short, he fucked with me. The next day after I met him, he pulled up to the Cary Orms, to the projects, and a Ferrari picked me up.
Wow.
And kind of changed my life a little bit, man.
So what did he do with you? Like, what was...
Shit, man, that nigga took me out the projects, man. That nigga bought me my first car, took me out of the projects, put me into an apartment. He owned a studio at the time. He would just let me come to the studio and fuck around all the time. He had a gospel group as well. I went on tour with him. He's still out here right now. He got a church out here right now.
Yeah, I know. His son went to
Randall, little Randall. Gorman. That's my boy.
Yeah, he went to school with my sister. Randall,
they were all, you know, they was all kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of did that, which led me to, I kind of helped somebody out because I was with Randall on tour with Randall. And then one of my boys who played keyboard, I kind of pulled him on a tour. Mm. He did a couple shows and then he moved to LA. And then he became the music director for Shante and Kenny. Mm. And then that's who called me for the Shante and Kenny gig, which I got fired for. I was
smoking
young
on the job.
I smoked on the job always. Oh, okay. But no, I was just young, man, and I used to talk shit, bro.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't my show. You feel me? It was Shantae's show. And it was like incidents, man, where I would just do shit, you know, that wasn't cause for it, talk shit.
Yeah.
And they let my young ass go.
Yeah, was that a lesson for you?
Absolutely. Cause after that, man, it took so fucking long. Nigga, I was back in the streets, back doing nigga shit. Yeah. Like just not doing nothing for so long, you feel me? Versus if I had to just, you know, play my role, I probably would have continued.
So you came back, so you got fired, and then like were you still continue with music though?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the streets, but you know, of course I still love music.
Right, right.
But
had to hurt, huh?
Yeah, it did.
You were there,
it was a couple situations that came about. Like, it was an old head that I had met. That his name was Dancer. I had met him, and he let me come to his studio, and he basically just let me run the studio. Mm-hmm. So I used to have all my partners and shit. They niggas that even rap, they turn rappers. Niggas just come to the studio. We just made music, and that's kind of where I became King Vader producer. Mm. You feel me? I started producing music and learning how to make beats and
putting it all together
and all of the shit just by having access to a studio.
Yeah. You feel
me? So shit like that happened, and then people started to notice that too.
So that was actually a blessing thing because you were more so just a drummer.
Absolutely.
Performer.
Absolutely.
And then that lesson took you back to square one, and then you learned how to be a producer and put things together and
how to create songs.
Wow.
You know? And not just songs, but good songs, you know? Right. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Always focused on, like, niggas would put out this music, and then they'll be like, yo, Jay-Z is my favorite rapper. And then I'd be like, yo, are you listening to your music and then listening to Jay music? Because, your shit is not the same. You feel me? Yeah. So I was always big on quality, having my shit sound, not like niggas in the industry, but industry.
You feel
that makes sense?
No, I feel you. Know what I'm saying?
Sound standard. Like industry standard, exactly. Mm-hmm. So. That's how all that shit came about.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing how life works like that.
Real
shit. You know
what
I'm saying? Yep. So how do you feel about being a producer? Does it give you more power? Does it make you feel like you're more in control of the end result?
In most cases, there's a lot of cases, not a lot. There's some cases where there's artists that's not producible.
What do you mean?
They just not producible. Shit. You know, it's some niggas that you just can't tell shit. Yeah, you know, some people. You
they're like uncoachable players type shit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They know everything, you know. They good, so they feel like, you know, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. Egos.
Exactly.
You deal with egos a lot?
Yeah. I don't deal with egos a lot because I don't deal with those type of niggas. I don't have to. You feel me? Yeah. So.
Yeah, you've reached such a point in your career. It's like you're...
I honestly, man, thank God to everything that I've accomplished. But if I hadn't accomplished nothing, I don't think I would fuck with a nigga with an ego because I would still feel the same way.
Right.
Yeah. You feel me? Like, yeah, I was the same nigga when I was broke.
Yeah.
you feel me? Yeah, like, yeah. I thought I was the shit. Yeah. I thought, you know, already. Yeah. So
how has money changed you? Or has it changed?
Money ain't changed me. It's just changed the people around me and the surroundings and shit like that. You know, I'm not one to flaunt money ever. You feel me? Like, you never see me on Instagram with a wad of money or no shit.
You don't
like
do
that.
The money phones?
No, I don't do all of that shit, man. And it's just the obvious, you know. Even niggas, like, you hear niggas in the industry that got bad contracts and shit like that. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. But even those niggas, like, when you work, bro, you still get money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know niggas that got bad contracts that live better than, you know, so it's kind of like the obvious, you know, like.
They had more than what they had.
Yeah, when you're doing a certain thing, like, you don't have to speak on, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to speak on certain shit. If I place that I just got a record placed, then clearly, obviously, I got paid.
You don't have to
flaunt the money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Nigga.
Yeah, let the work speak for itself. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Looking from the outside, this is the first time I met you in person. And I look at you as, you know, like from like the local standpoint, from Vegas standpoint, you're the guy. You know, like you've reached a certain level. You're working with the top artists in the world. And
yeah, I appreciate that, man.
So, do you feel pressure?
That's love. No, I don't, man. I don't feel no pressure, man. I just get up and I do me. Mm. You feel me? I don't compete with nobody.
Mm. That's a key thing.
Yeah, I don't. It's no competition with me. You feel me? Like, I'm gonna be me, whether you win or lose.
Yeah.
And then I also know that it's enough winning in the game for everybody to win.
For sure.
You feel me?
Yeah, so I think music is that one of those weird things where people try to make it a sport, like a competition, but it's not.
It's mainly hip hop though.
Yeah.
It's not even all music because I don't just produce hip hop music. When I do other music, man, with other people, even just like with the writing shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is the only genre of music where niggas try to shy away from, oh, I have a writer. Like, nigga, fucking Beyonce is Queen B. Yeah. And like, I can guarantee 85-90% of her music she didn't write.
Right, right.
But we're on Drake, who's the king of rap music right now. And like, niggas is still talking about Quentin Miller writing a hook or some shit like that, or giving him an idea.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, I've been in a room with, man, like some of the top niggas, and like damn near every nigga has writing teams or writers around. You feel me?
It's just like you're focusing on the end product. It's not about like who's writing what. It's about the song.
And then it's the delivery. Everybody can't deliver that shit.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
If Neo wrote To the Left, if that song had went to Sierra, we probably wouldn't have got the same results.
You feel me?
And Sierra was hot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's all about the delivery. Everybody can't do that shit. Just because somebody wrote it don't mean.
Yeah.
You know?
It's about that magic in the room. You know, when you're creating, there's a certain magic, a certain energy.
Absolutely.
And it's not about, like, oh, who wrote what, you know? Yeah. I mean, it depends, though. Like, I think, like, sometimes, you know, it's as a fan, it is disappointing. Like, if I heard, you know, like, if Drake...
Who's your favorite rapper?
My favorite rapper? It depends on the day. But Fab is probably... Like, if I found out Fab wasn't writing his own raps, I'd be disappointed.
Okay, here goes where the writing shit comes in. I'm a West Coast nigga. So you think Fab wrote I Can't Deny It, I'm a Fucking Writer? You know,
no, what, he definitely didn't write that. Not the hook.
He had a writer.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So niggas take see. So this is what I'm saying. That's how fast shit gets taken out of context. Mm-hmm. You could have been like, well, Nate Dogg wrote that song, and niggas would have immediately been like, oh, he wrote for Fab.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be situations where niggas would throw an idea out. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying that that nigga didn't help write that song. He has all the right in the world to say, I wrote that record. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Because he did write the record. He has a part in writing the record. Right. So niggas get confused in the bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, who wrote what anyway? Because, like, you get a writing credit if you input you can in say one two line. Words. Yeah.
Exactly. I got credit. I got writing credit. I produced a record. I don't know if I'm supposed to say nothing about this song. I actually got a lawsuit going against somebody I was signed to. But long story short, I produced a record, and I was in the session when the artist Sway Lee was writing the record, and I think I just said like two words, and they ended up on the record, and I was expecting to just get my production credit, but when I got the split sheets and shit, I had writing credit and shit. I'm like, oh, shit.
Damn. That's a beautiful thing.
Let's go.
God damn.
Yeah.
I think you should add a period right here.
Yeah. Looking ass.
Damn, that's dope, man. So when you're producing your own albums, though, and like Never Die Young, Die Legendary, what's your thought process going into that? And how do you choose these artists that you work with? You know, especially when you have access to, you know, probably a plethora of, you know, major artists.
Well, I have a project. See, this is what I learned from that. I have a project before this one. It was called I Am King. I took it down from every platform and shit because I wanted to rebrand it. Long story. But anyways, I had a project called I Am King. I had T.I. on there, 2 Chainz, Problem, French Montana. I had niggas on there that I was around, you feel me? I put the project out, and Tip hit me for the record that he was on and was like, I want to put the record out type shit. And it's like, I already put the record. So that was kind of my lesson with that. And then just going into the projects, man, I don't be, you know, first of all, like, in any deal that I've had, my projects never have been supported through my deals. It's always shit that I put out. I literally started putting out music because one of my homeboys was in the studio with me when I first got my first deal. My first deal was a writing and production deal. I was doing references. And one of my partners was like, you should put it out. It's another little nigga out here. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't give him no light. It's a producer nigga out here. He was putting out projects. And they was like, if such and such could do it, then nigga, I know you could put out a project. So I'm like, okay, well, shit. I was writing songs, and then I sent out like a bundle of songs, and I had extra songs, so I was just like, okay, let me put together this project.
Yeah,
I put together the project, and I think I made like $1,000 like selling CDs in like a day or some shit like that. I was like, okay, this is a cool little hustle, you feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
So long story short, that built a fan base of niggas that fucked with my projects. So that's really why I put out projects, just
So how do you pick like work, like Jeep is probably my favorite song on that album.
Taylor Weez and Teddy Crooklyn.
Yeah, maybe just because I'm a little biased because those are my guys.
All
you know
of them niggas
saying?
Is my homeboys, man. All of them niggas is my homeboys. Weez, Taylor Weez, he's actually the first artist that I have on my production label, Culture House.
Okay. He was on a couple tracks on that album.
Yeah, exactly. Me and Weez got like probably 100 songs right now. He finna drop a project that we just did.
100 songs?
Yeah, easy. Easy.
He's about to drop a project.
Yeah,
about time. God damn, I've been telling that motherfucker.
It's called Less Talk, More R&B.
Yep. So I see him been posting it.
I produced the whole project. My partner Smitty, he produced a couple records on there too. Smitty is part of Culture House as well. But shit, man, all them niggas is my partners, man. Yeah. And they my go-to artists and shit. They the dopest niggas in the city.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope that you didn't go Hollywood, man.
No, you know hell no. Hollywood what? 702. Hollywood is 818.
Yeah, no, that's dope, man. We appreciate it because we need people like you to.
For sure.
And like Jazz, I was telling Jazz too, I'm like, yo, it's just dope to me. Dizzy too. It's like dope to me that you guys just still, you know, you're not like, you're not just, you know, you still keeping your feet, you know, on the
Jazz
ground.
Is my little bro though. Yeah. That's my nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Jazz is my nigga. I got my first deal was over there with Jazz. The first deal that I ever signed, Jazz is my bro. Like we probably spent at one time like 6 months in the studio together every day.
So
like,
y'all really grew up in music together.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
My first deal, Trey Borders got me my first deal over there with Maul.
Trey Borders, he works at RDN too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. That's why I'm back over there.
Hey, small city, bro.
In meetings, you feel me? My boy Trey. Nah, but I signed over there with Maul, and Jazz was over there, and he was like the only artist over there and shit, man. I went over there the first day. I went over there, and I played like 5 beats, and Jazz recorded literally all 5 beats that night. And that just started.
He's a monster.
It started some shit. Then he found out I played drums. Then that's when the Tuesday Blend shit happened.
Oh, yeah.
And then we ended up doing the live band shit for the Tuesday Blend shit and shit like that. And, you know, we just, you know, progressed together, worked together. And shit, man, I'm proud of dude. It's good to see him where he's at right now.
Oh, for sure.
And finally getting his just due.
Yeah, I'm excited to see his future. I'm excited to see both you guys' future. Yeah. You know? Because it's hard enough getting to the point where you're at, huh?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Niggas think this shit is easy, man. Niggas think this shit just come overnight, man. Me and Jazz literally, like I said, we was in the studio day and night, literally 6 months straight, every fucking day, just making records. You feel me? Jazz kind of, without even trying, like, you know, the records that I did with Jazz is what solidified my first deal. It was what got me my first deal, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I took away from the Jazz interview was he said, you got to lock yourself in that studio.
Yeah,
if absolutely. If you're not in the studio 24/7, you're not really that serious.
You're not, man. We was literally. And after the 6 months, we still, you know, was in there heavy. But I'm saying, like, literally every single day for, like, 6 months straight, me and that nigga Jazz was in the studio.
Your 10,000 hours.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Straight up.
That's a beautiful thing, man. So when you see these artists nowadays, you know, what's some advice you can give to them, man? Because it means, I try to give artists advice, but it doesn't mean shit because, you know,
First of all, let me take me a little
Can you
drink
pass this. That, slide that on over to me, my guy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Need a little refill.
So first of all, a lot of these niggas that's doing music ain't really artists, you know? I would say
I'm listening.
I would say a lot of these niggas not artists anyways from the jump. So
yeah, they just want to be famous.
They just want to be famous and they doing shit because it's cool. But for the artists that are really strong about their artistry, man, just work on your craft. Get your 10,000 hours. Lock yourself in the studio, man. Get better. You know what I'm saying? Create yourself. Yeah. Don't fucking bite off the nigga that you watching on TV and shit or on YouTube. Like, create yourself, man. Don't be scared of being you. You know? That's one thing that I could pride myself on. Like, I don't sound like nobody.
Yeah, that's important. That's the most important motherfucking factor.
Yeah.
Is if you, because as listeners, I feel like we can just cut through that bullshit so easy now. We just know when you're doing some fugazi shit or some copy-paste shit. So you gotta be you, and that's the easiest thing to do. Well, for some people, it's hard.
Yeah, but real shit lasts longer though.
Yeah, for
in
sure.
in any aspect, you feel me? Yeah. Real jewelry, niggas that wear fake chains, they gotta switch their chains out and shit like that. Real shit lasts longer.
Yeah,
if you're making real music, that shit's gonna last. You feel me?
Yeah, 100%. Have you ever been starstruck?
Yeah. I'm a Brandy fan.
Oh, damn.
And,
you in the studio with her?
Yeah, I was working on Ray J album, man. Oh, damn. She walked in the studio to do background vocals for Randy.
Whoa.
I mean, for Ray J. I wasn't really starstruck, but I was like, you know, it was like, oh, you know what? I swear to God, I got to take that back. I take that back. Fuck, I got starstruck one time. In Dre's. I'm going to tell you what happened, right? So this was the Pacquiao fight night. I'm in Dre's, nigga. You know who Leaning Low is?
Yeah.
That's my my partner. Me, Low, Easy.
Okay. Yeah, DJ Easy. Almighty. Yeah.
Easy was with me, I believe. But anyways, nigga, Will Smith was there. Fucking Usher, nigga. Like, everybody's in our... Dave Chappelle, nigga.
Oh.
Everybody's in our section, right?
Jeez.
So, nigga, I'm talking to Low. I'm literally talking to Low. And I noticed, like, some niggas, like, some CIA-looking-ass niggas start walking up, right? And, you know, I'm used to niggas having security.
Right.
But these niggas weren't the normal security niggas. These niggas come out and they peeping shit out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm chopping it up with Low. And motherfucking LeBron James walk up.
Oh, my God.
LeBron James walk up. And literally, nigga, I'm talking to Low, nigga, and in mid-conversation, I'm like, nigga, there go LeBron James. Like, literally, nigga, I stopped everything I was saying. I'm like, nigga, that's LeBron James, nigga.
Yeah.
Literally, that was probably the only time, though.
Jesus.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Chappelle, Will Smith.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle, we did Tip album. Man, you know Mars, My Guy Mars, 1500 or nothing, that's my little brother.
Okay.
But we did Tip album, the album before this one, Dime Trap. Mm. And Dave Chappelle narrated the whole album, so he was around a whole lot.
Wow, man. I don't know how I would act if I was around somebody like Dave Chappelle.
That nigga cool as shit, man.
I know,
smoke
I know.
Smoke weed and talk shit.
I know. Is it ever weird, though? Because, you know, like, I hate how Americans, you know, we idolize celebrities and we idolize people, and I hate it. But I'm a victim of it, too, because I grew up here with media and, you know, the all that shit, too. So is it weird, like being in a studio with Ray J?
Nah, Ray
or
J.
Or just anybody?
Ray J funny as shit. All of these niggas, I'm going to tell you what I'm blessed with. Because I've seen asshole-ish ass people too. Yeah. What I'm blessed with is all of the people that I've been associated with. I'll say probably 95% of the people that I've been associated with has been thorough, real people. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, I played drums for Tip for 10 years now. He's one of the realest niggas that I've ever met. Yeah. Faith Evans, I played drums for her for 10 years. Wow. She's like one of the realest motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Stevie J is my big bro. Like, yeah. I talk to that nigga every day. He was just texting me right now. Mm-hmm. Realest nigga ever.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I've been blessed to meet real motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel weird when I'm around. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, like, weird, like, you know their impact on the world.
Man, listen. I talk to Stevie every day. I'm going to just use Stevie as an example. I talk to Stevie every day, literally every day. I've stayed at his crib, driven his cars, we've made money, did records, Summer Walker, like all of this shit. And still right now, my nigga, like, I'll get online right now, I see somebody posting about him, and I'll screenshot that shit, like, bro, you really the GOAT. Like, you really, like, nigga, fucking 250 million records sold, nigga, like, you're really that nigga, dog. Mm-hmm. So it be moments like that, you feel me, that happen.
Got him on the line,
I remember one night I was in the bed, nigga, and I was watching fucking, what's the fucking name of that movie? It just happened with Maya, too, the other day. Maya was on Punk, and I seen it. I screenshotted it and sent it to her.
Yeah.
But I was in the bed watching Fighting the Temptation. Faith Evans is in that movie. Mm-hmm. We laugh at this, about the shit I fucking videotaped it and sent her. I'm like, damn. Like, you're a movie star and all. Yeah, you're a movie star and shit. Like, she laughed about that shit. But, like, shit like that, it still impact me, man. Even though these people are my friends, my brothers and sisters, people that fuck with me. And
just
really
makes you even more grateful.
Me. Exactly. Yeah. But it's still like, man, listen. Faith Evans was married to Biggie Smalls. That's history.
That just gave me chills,
You feel me? That's history. I was at her house yesterday before I came to Vegas. I was just at her house yesterday.
Yeah.
So, like, nigga, shit like that, you can't.
You just try not to think about.
I mean, you can't not think about it. You feel me? You can't not think about that shit, man.
Yeah. Well, I ask because, like, there's some people that I just feel like I just don't even want to meet, because I just want you to stay where in my mind I want you to stay there. I don't want to meet you and then be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Like 50 Cent.
Yeah. I have been disappointed by certain people. I went on tour with a nigga. I don't know if I should say his name because.
Nah, you don't have to say names. We don't have to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't want to bash nobody, but I went on tour with a nigga, man, and he, you know, it was at the prime of his career type shit. And he was hot.
Yeah.
And I just didn't fuck with the way he did people. Like, nigga, he no pictures with people. Like, he would send his bodyguard on women and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It was just weird shit that he would do.
That fame,
standoffish and shit like that. Like, that's weird, nigga. I know niggas that's richer than you that don't act like you.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, that fame will fuck you up.
Yeah,
it's crazy. So why'd you move to LA?
Shit, because I was spending too much money on hotel rooms.
So you're out there a majority of your time.
Yeah, man. When I first, you know, not when I first, but when shit was really picking up, man, I would leave for LA and be in LA for like 3 weeks rehearsing in the studio, and every night I'm buying a hotel room. Mm. You feel me? So like,
I feel you. It just runs out.
It was just like too much. So,
well, it's just right down the road. You know what I mean? Yeah. Vegas, 45-minute flight.
Yeah. I just went to Atlanta. February. Man, I had such a good time, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about
moving out there.
Getting a little crib or something out there, man. Cause the vibes is so different out there right now, man. Mm-hmm. And like,
that's a real hip hop hub.
And then they love fresh new shit.
They actually support it. They give it a listen.
Fresh new shit. And like, it's easy to take over if you fresh new.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm able to get in certain rooms and shit like that to maneuver around. So it was kind of cool. You feel me?
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
Is that what we're missing here in Vegas? That support? That, like,
nigga, we were missing the resources. Yeah. If we support each other, then where are we supporting each other too? Yeah. Ain't no fucking labels and shit out here.
Okay.
Like, everybody act like, oh yeah, if we get behind each other, if we stand behind each other.
Yeah, it makes me throw up. Yeah,
like, what's gonna happen then? Then what? Nigga, like, then what we gonna, who gonna listen?
Yeah, just us.
No, exactly. Nigga, we need the resources, bro. We need resources. We need niggas to take sacrifices and get the fuck out of Vegas and go make moves. You feel me? It's only a certain few. The reason why Dizzy is Dizzy, he got the fuck up out of Vegas and made moves. Jazz is Jazz because he don't sit his ass in Vegas. Nothing never happened for me in Vegas. Nothing never came from Vegas for me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I got Vegas tattooed on me several times.
I know.
You feel me? So like, and literally nothing has come from this. Even when I come back and bring shit to the city, it's like, it'd be weird.
People aren't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I think you know, we got plenty of talent, but the industry and doing that, it's not about talent.
Yeah, and you know what else is fucked up? Like, in L.A., for instance, it's a lot of OG niggas. You feel me? It's a lot of OGs that can show you the game. Mm-hmm. Nobody out here made it. So it's no OGs. Like, the OG niggas can't show you nothing because they didn't make it. You feel me? So it's a lack of knowledge out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas don't even know how to know.
Right.
If that makes sense. You feel me?
Yeah. I mean, our OG, like, you're our OG. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
You're our OG. Dizzy.
Facts.
And Laser. You
facts.
Know what I'm saying?
And we can't forget Fats. That's 100%. My boy. That's my bro. I talk to Fats all the time.
Yeah. For sure. Send him my love, man.
Yeah,
he knows who I am. But man, you guys are still working on your own shit. You know what I'm saying?
Still getting it together.
Yeah, but you guys are all still, you know, working with trying to bring people up still.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But I was coming up in the local scene a lot, and I would look at Dizzy like, he's not doing enough for us and this and that, and I would look at certain people, but I had to check myself, you know what I'm saying? Because I was going through something that a lot of artists go through, is entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a false sense of entitlement, and they think like motherfuckers are supposed to give them an opportunity just because they're from Vegas. And I had to check myself. It's like, nah, like, You gotta build your own leverage and build your own fan base. And
facts. I never really, how do I put this? I kind of was on that, you know, the same shit, like Dizzy don't do shit for the city type shit. But I went on tour with Dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I ended up producing records for Dizzy. But I went on tour with Dizzy and I had time to sit down and, you know, actually talk to Dizzy and, you know, and shit like that. And like, you know, it's not that he don't fuck with the city. It's like the city, the niggas that come to Dizzy, 9 times out of 10 ain't even ready.
Yeah.
You feel me? And it's like,
only the smaller artist wins in that situation. You ain't bringing nothing for Dizzy.
And in any case, if you're somebody and you get 100 people trying to get you to put them on or whatever the case may be, and 95 of them suck. Like, you might miss 5 of them. You feel me? You might miss the 5 that's actually dope because 95 already sucked. Or you might not even get that far because you might listen to 45 that suck. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to listen no more because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what ends up happening. And then he get bashed a lot.
He does.
Like, he don't say shit, but that nigga know, he see all of the shit that niggas be saying in the city about him and then expect him to help.
Yeah.
You feel me afterwards?
No. Oh, man, I am just waiting for... I just would love to sit down and talk to him, man, and really pick his brain about all that, because you know, I'm a super Dizzy fan. I've been listening to him since Smoke Out Conversation. I mean, in high school we heard about Dizzy Flashy and shit, you know. So, but yeah, man, that must be a lot of pressure. But I mean, I can only imagine that you feel that kind of pressure too. People tugging at you, you know, like, oh, let me get on your next album and this and that. And
I think, I think the way that I was brought up in Vegas, it puts me in a different position because a lot of the rappers from the city are really my partners. Like, I know a lot of them. I really know these niggas. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm more approachable to certain niggas than Dizzy is. You feel me? Like, I got records with niggas in the city that you probably wouldn't think that I would have records with because, you know what I'm saying? But I do it because for the city. And it be certain times, like, I got niggas right now that talk shit about me. That talk shit about me that pay me like $200 for a beat. You know, nigga, you act like, you know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, I gave you a deal.
$200 for King Baby seems like the plug.
It's more than the plug, bro. Mm-hmm. Like more than the plug. Like more than the plug. I'm not even gonna get into numbers. But $200, like I smoke $100 of weed a day. Yeah. Facts. You feel me? Yeah, facts. Yeah. I buy at least a half ounce of weed every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, bro, don't come at me with the, you know, people act like they damn near own you because they paid you $200.
Well, that's that entitlement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
And that's the lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you knew better, you would do better.
Yeah, exactly. If you knew better, you'd overpay.
Not even overpay. Just pay a nigga what they worth.
Right, right. Well, I like to overpay sometimes. Just because I feel like. Because
you think you Frank Lucas or something.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I like to rub people the right way. I don't like to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right.
Because that goes a long way. You like, you know, your relationships and how you make somebody feel. Like people aren't always going to remember exactly what you said to them, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Absolutely, that's a fact.
So I like to, I take that into account because I'm the same way. You know, if I meet you for the first time and, you know, you made me feel like a little weird, like I'm always going to, you know, you just remember that.
And stick with you.
Yeah. So I try to, you know, that's a big part of the game too. He's politicking and rubbing shoulders and doing it the right way. Yeah.
Relationships.
Yeah. But you've been able to do that well. Seems like.
I mean, I've been all right, man.
You seem like a cool guy, bro. Like, before you, while you walked up, super good energy, man.
Yeah, man, I'm cool, man.
Yeah, man. So what's coming? Tell me about Culture House. So tell me what the thought was behind that. And
Culture House came about because I just wanted to do my own shit, man. I've been tied down to so many different other entities, and I work doing so much other shit. There's so many records that I've done that I didn't get credit for. My first deal, I signed over literally the rights to the name and everything. You feel me? I got publishing and shit like that. But even still right now, legally, I can't even talk about records that I did because it's the NDA. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? On shit like that. Plus, like I said earlier, I got a little lawsuit that I'm working on right now for certain records and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But
you want to talk about that?
About what?
I'm
gonna talk about it. Whatever, man. Shit.
I mean, so how is that process going? Are you trying to get the ownership of it back, or what's the situation?
I'm trying to get my money.
Mm.
I'm really trying to get. Not even trying. I'm about to get my money.
So you had material stolen from me?
Not. I mean, yeah. Basically, you could say that. I have records I have a record right now. And again, I can't speak on records, but I have a record right now that's 5 times platinum. Mm. I have not received anything but the upfront money.
Oh.
You feel me? And the upfront money, see what it is like these industry niggas, they give you a lot of money or what they call a lot of money. You feel me? I think they gave me like 10 bands up front or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Upfront, because that's they know how much they're going to make on the back end.
Yeah. But still, I've watched so many people get fucked up. Mm-hmm. I never, ever, not one time have sold over my pub. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So,
because that's where the money is.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna never get fucked. I did sign over the rights to put my name on the records, and somebody else put their name and their tag on my on a lot of my records.
That
but
happens?
I still got pub. Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah.
Whoa. So
hell yeah.
So you sign over. Like somebody can take credit for your beat, pretty much.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Yeah, I signed, like, and then
legally.
Yes, I legally signed over.
Yeah, because you get your money, you know you're gonna produce more. Anyway,
but here's the thing, you know why Kanye West is Kanye West? Because Kanye West's name was on all of those Jay-Z records, all of those records that he did.
Association.
You know?
Yeah.
So at first, a young nigga coming from the hood, coming from nothing, you know, you go from here, from making nothing. Or selling little weed sacks to making publishing money, or before you even make the publishing money, you're sold this. You're sold this. You're like, okay, well, this is what this is. You feel me?
Yeah.
You come over here to this side. This is what you get over here, or you could just stay over here.
Yeah.
So a young nigga, from the hood,
taking that money.
Let's go with the money. Yeah. I don't give a fuck what you say. Am I gonna get paid, nigga?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about my name being on that shit, man. Let's get bread. Exactly. I know I'm sitting in the studio doing the records. So at first I didn't give a fuck.
That's where they take advantage of you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I didn't give a fuck at first. So as time went on, you know, I started realizing shit, and I got fucking 10 records on the radio, and nobody fucking know who the fuck I am.
Mm.
Nigga, I got niggas like I got records with French Montana. He walking in the studio introducing himself. Mm. Like, nigga, high, low, high, low. Nah, nigga, that's me. you feel me? Like, what the fuck, nigga?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. And I went through a stage at the end of my deal where it was like, I was like on some, fuck it, I'm not doing shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck everything, like, nigga, you know? And I was mad at myself, but one thing about the industry, you can't be mad at yourself for signing a fucked up situation.
Right.
Like, a lot of niggas be like, oh, I'm in a fucked up deal. Yeah. But my nigga, the first thing that they do when you sign with any major or anything, the first thing they do is tell you, go have your attorney look over this contract and make sure everything is to your liking.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that?
I did. Like I said, I didn't give a fuck about it. The only thing that was in my that was wrong with my fucking contract, my first contract, was that.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah.
I got 75% of my publishing.
Yeah.
For all of the records that I did, you feel me? It took a while to get paid, but
you got paid.
But when shit started flowing, you know, it was Gucci.
Yeah. And then you got to get an attorney, an outside attorney, not an attorney
I never had an attorney with a label.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
Because that can be a little my attorneys, too.
My attorneys, when I first met them niggas, I met them in at a restaurant, an outside restaurant in Hollywood. Mm. I pulled up and both of those niggas were smoking weed.
Mm.
I knew then. I'm like, these are my guys.
That was the requirement.
These are my motherfucking guys, bro. I sat down with them niggas, man.
That's hilarious.
I had a fucking lawsuit that I filed in 2018, man. It took 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months, and they got me my money.
Yeah.
No problems, and we've been rocking.
Yeah. How does an artist find an attorney?
I actually found that my girlfriend at the time was she's in the industry too.
Yeah.
But she was cool with one of them. She went to school or some shit with one of them, and the situation had happened, and she was like, oh yeah, I got some attorneys for you too. They actually, Mike, you know who Mike Dean is?
The producer?
Yeah, his attorneys as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Dean is a legend.
Exactly. Jesus. Exactly.
But yeah, so yeah, I think I've talked to a lot of artists. I mean, you know, in a lot of artists that have been approached by labels, and I feel like it's a real roadblock for artists, because usually an artist's mind is in artistry mode. They're not in business mode. And a lot of that shit can just, like, either
fuck up everything
and intimidate them, or they don't even want to have those conversations because they don't know what they're talking about.
When you have to do music and do business and create, like, it's too much.
Yeah.
You have to have a team.
Mm.
The reason why niggas like Jazz is able to do amazing things is because he goes to the studio.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Like, now, like, that's it. Yeah, I don't have to worry about publishing or none of that shit, because I have people that's doing that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty of having a team.
How does an up-and-coming artist, let's say, in a Teddy Crooklyn or Taylor Weiss position, get put themselves...
Them niggas is good. Okay. Both of them niggas.
Those, yeah, they got you.
Them my little niggas. Weeze is definitely good. That's Culture House. And Teddy Crooklyn, that's my young nigga.
Yeah, I used to manage Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy, they good. They one thing I can say about Teddy is about quality. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to put himself in no bullshit-ass situation, you feel me?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine how intimidating like that next step is, but you got to get your paperwork right, got to have your business right, because then I feel like once you have that right, then it frees up your mind to really create,
because you know, like,
you're good, you don't got to stress about that, so
you can
freely create, man. So Culture House is a
production label.
Are you gonna look to sign more artists?
I'm not necessarily artists. Okay. If I find somebody that's...
Oh, production label. So you want producers.
I want producers and writers.
Okay.
If I find somebody, you know, like Taylor Weiss, that nigga is... He's special to me. That nigga is a special artist. That nigga is... He's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I met Taylor Weiss through an artist that I don't even fuck with no more.
Mm.
You feel me? And we continue to do shit. I called him for one of my projects and shit like that, and I chopped it up with him. Like, I just asked him, like, yo, what's your situation with music?
Mm-hmm.
He really didn't have a situation. So I was like, shit, man, just let me do a project. Let me do a project with you. Mm-hmm. And after that, we'll see, you know, how it goes.
Is he kind of like your understudy?
I wouldn't call him my understudy.
But he's soaking up game for sure. I can only imagine.
I definitely I definitely could see growth since since we've been dealing with him. But that nigga, I can't take shit away from Weez. Mm-hmm. That nigga is incredible by himself. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wouldn't call him my understudy, but I would definitely call him someone that he listens.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like I didn't FaceTime that nigga. Tell you, I didn't FaceTime that nigga 2-3 in the morning, like sitting in the studio with big niggas playing his records. Mm. Like, nigga, mm-hmm. everybody's in here feeling your shit right now, nigga. Yeah, yeah. He like, oh shit. Oh yeah, that's dope. You feel me? Like crazy shit. Like, yeah.
So what do you think an artist like him has to do to get to the next level? Because I know there's a lot of up and coming artists, especially from the city, that's gonna watch this interview.
A nigga like Weez just gotta stay consistent and end up in the right end up in the right rooms. Yeah. That's all it is, man, because Weez is dope. Yeah. It's not a lot of niggas that's actually dope like that. You feel me? A lot of these niggas, they can go in there and do, like, Weez can, like, we when I first met Weez, that nigga was straight rapping.
Yeah. Like, now I think he comes from battle rapping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now the project that we're putting out right now is called Less Talk, More R&B.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, evolution.
Like, exactly. He's totally, wherever I'm at musically, mm-hmm. nigga, he's going with me. Mm-hmm. You feel me? It was the same with Jazz. Mm-hmm. Like, I compare the way I work with Weez the same way I work with Jazz. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, mm-hmm. those two niggas right now, I can go in the studio, and it don't matter what the fuck I put on. Mm-hmm. Whatever beat I put on, niggas is going.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. That's dope, though. That's dope that you see that potential in them. Because that's what a lot of artists need, is they need somebody to see the potential in them, even when they might not see it themselves.
Yep.
That's super important.
Yeah, it is.
I was just arguing with Weez like a couple weeks ago. I was just arguing with him about calling Vegas the 7. We was going back and forth. I hate when people call Las Vegas the 7.
Why? That's dope.
It's the vague.
It's the vague too.
But the 7, I just feel like it comes from Drake calling Toronto the 6. It's just like, yo, we got to be original with our shit.
I mean, but it was niggas was doing that before Drake, man.
Were they?
Hell yeah.
Okay, well then, hey, if that's true, then I'll shut up about it, but I'm just like,
man. We the 7, man. You feel me?
Oh, no.
We the 7, man.
I'm too.
702, man. I fuck with that.
No, 702 for sure, but I was just like, man, the way I saw it was, it's just not even a battle. I really choose to fight, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, yo, Houston didn't start calling themselves whatever the fuck they are, their number, you know? L.A. didn't start calling themselves the 3, you know what I'm saying? Whatever.
I mean, they don't say the 3, but them niggas definitely 213.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. If you want it to be the 7, it's the 7. I hate that, man. But it's all good. But yeah, man. So what's coming up this year, man, for you, for King Vet? You got another project dropping?
Yeah, I'm working on a project right now. Weez project, Candace Boy project. Mm. Shit, I'm in the studio right now working. Here's the thing. There's a lot of shit. I'm going to just say this. I got a lot of shit coming out. I got a lot of shit that I'm doing. But as I've grown and done things, I've learned to keep my mouth shut and not push certain shit in the universe. Mm. Because you put certain shit in the universe, it's hater niggas around all the mm-hmm. time. And niggas get to hating on the shit that you put in the universe. And they're hating on something that hasn't even happened yet. Mm. And that energy can fuck up that shit that you have going on. Mm-hmm. So what I will say is... I'm not finna get these hater niggas nothing, man.
Okay, I got you. No, I feel you.
What I will say is, man, I got a bunch of shit going on, man. I got a huge meeting with Universal on Tuesday. Stevie J is managing me now full time. So
wow, congratulations.
Yeah, we got a huge meeting with Universal on Tuesday. And I got a bunch of shit coming up, man. Yeah. I got my project coming up. Taylor Weez, Candace, working on some shit with her. I was just out there working on some shit with her. Man, I got a bunch of shit going on. I got a bunch of shit.
No, I'm already knowing. I can only imagine because you do music full time.
Absolutely. That's it.
That's such a blessing. You got the coolest job in the
world. I lasted through the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I lasted through the pandemic.
Yeah, man. Well, I said, Polo G. That was dope.
I did Polo G.
So how does all that work? Like behind the scenes, like how do you get a call? Is this like from somebody's manager or?
Yeah.
It's just
a lot
like,
of times managers or the labels. Mm. Like with Easy Mill. I just got his music. I'm a music director for Easy Mill now.
Dope.
But
he's an artist from the Philippines.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dope.
He's crazy. Like the number one nigga from the Philippines. He's crazy dope. But I got a call. I used to, you know, Ski TV? I did like 3 seasons of Ski TV.
Okay.
So, relationship from there. Somebody called me and was like, yo, I got this artist named Easy Mill, yada, yada, yada. He's in Vegas. I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I'm from Vegas, so that's easy.
Yeah. And it turns out to be here.
And it turns out, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
But that's really how it goes, man. Like the label or some shit like that. I'm a part of 1500 or Nothing as well. So, just being around the people that I am, people have noticed who I am and what I do, and and now it's to the point where the phone is ringing.
Yeah, so it's really just about who you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got to be good at what the fuck you do, but then
But the industry is small,
right?
You know,
they say it's like high school.
It's small. It's very small. Mm-hmm. Once you're in it, you know, we all know each other, even if you don't. Oh, I'm shook. Such and such hand. Like I know who such and such is, though. You feel me? Like it's very small. Yeah. It's very, very small. So.
Yeah. See, that's a big thing that a lot of artists that we got, just got to network more, man, for sure.
Man, niggas
got
to get out the city, bro. I can't stress that shit enough, man. Make sacrifices, bro. We all niggas out and Instagram and these, I'm in Miami, I'm in Atlanta. Like, niggas, stop just going out. Fucking network. Get on social media, do something. Go to, if you at the club, meet the DJ.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself as an artist. You feel me? Like, I had this one artist, man. I don't fuck with that nigga no more, so I'm not going to say his name. But I had this one artist, man. Listen, I fuck with this nigga. This nigga was around me, my nigga, for like 2 or 3 years, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was crazy, he's a rapper. I'm talking about he met Rick Ross, French Montana, everybody. All of the sessions that I was in, everybody that was coming around, he was around these niggas.
Yeah.
None of these niggas knew he was a rapper. How?
Pride.
How the fuck are you sitting on the couch right there? And nobody know you're a rapper.
Starstruck, something. You're not ready. He wasn't ready. Like, God damn.
Cap.
Yeah.
Maybe cap.
Yeah. I think it's like people think it's that entitlement, it's that pride. You know, it's people wanting to know, you know, people wanting other people to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's the pride.
What's fucked up is I wake up the next day and see on social media, oh, yeah, I was in the studio.
Oh, my
was
God.
In the studio with Rick Ross last
Sickening.
Night. Like, bro, you were sitting on the couch, bro. Stop playing.
Yeah, man. You got to get your energy right. That vibe check, man. That your energy is so important, man, especially in
music.
You
know what? I've been a victim of that, too.
You
learn from that shit, bro.
Yeah.
After you go to 3 sessions and you be like, well, I'm a producer and I was in the studio with such and such. And nothing happened.
You didn't open
and
your mouth.
And then you think about it, and you'd be like, well, nothing happened because you didn't say nothing. Nobody knew you was a producer. Next time.
That ain't going to happen again.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Man. Yeah. It's a weird psychological thing. You get caught up in your head. You know, you've visioned this opportunity for so long, and now you're here, and it's like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? And then you freeze.
Man.
But you can't freeze, bro, because
you can't.
You know, you let opportunity slip. You don't know when you're going to get that again.
It's young niggas that's not freezing.
Yeah.
They're not freezing.
Oh, yeah, they're not even thinking.
They're
no
going,
hesitation.
They're jumping at every opportunity.
Yeah,
you feel
for
me?
Real, for real. What are you listening to right now? I love to hear people's, especially in hip-hop, because, you know, I love hip-hop. I'm a hip-hop head. But, you know, sometimes I just got to turn on some old-school R&B or just something else. I need to refresh my brain. You know what I'm saying?
That's me. First of all, I had this conversation with Easy, and like niggas thought I was weird until me and Easy was like
Almighty.
Yeah, Easy Almighty DJ. That's my little nigga. We probably hung together for like a couple months straight during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had got a studio and shit like that, so we was together all the time. But I don't listen to music, bro. I don't listen to music.
That's so crazy to hear.
I don't listen to music, and I'm gonna tell you why. I watched an interview on Missy Elliott. This was a few years ago. I watched the interview, and she was telling the reporter about the they used to have a thing called the Basement Crew, with Timberland, Missy, Genuine, all of those niggas. But Mr. Devontae, who was the leader of the shit, Devontae from Jodeci, he wouldn't let them listen to music.
Whoa.
He wouldn't let them watch TV or listen to music, and that shit happened for 2 years straight.
Whoa.
And what came of that? Was their own sound.
Whoa.
They didn't sound like
They're
not influenced by anything.
Genius.
Of the outside world.
Genius.
They don't sound like nothing. Still to this day, nigga, you could play a Timberland beat right now today. And you can't duplicate that shit.
Can't.
You feel me? You
it's
can't duplicate
funky.
It. So that's why niggas is in there beboxing with their mouth on the mic and shit because niggas in there bored to fucking death. Yeah. You got in the studio 2 years straight. You can't watch TV or listen to music.
But that's so important. It's almost like a it's almost just like a blessing and a curse because like you're in it even though you enjoy music so much. You're in it now, so you have to look at it from a different perspective.
Exactly.
And if you do go, if you are listening to, you know, the top 10 on Billboard or whatever, you're gonna be, your brain is gonna internalize that and on accident, and then you're gonna
I've accidentally I'm not a biter at all, so I say this with pride. I've accidentally wrote songs and listen to it afterwards and be like,
oh no,
I can't put that out because that melody is from something I heard. Heard that shit. You feel me? And it's embedded in my head now, so it feels comfortable to just sing.
Yeah, like the cadence is for sure big in hip hop. It's just the same cadence every time.
So I don't. It started off me forcing myself, but now I just don't. I really don't listen to music. Yeah. If it's somebody that drop a CD that I fuck with that I really like or some shit like that,
give it a listen.
Then I'll give it a listen, but that'll be the end of that.
That's the most important, impactful piece of advice that I think you could give to an up-and-coming artist, is because it's so important for them to have their own identity, to have their own sound. Stop listening to whatever you hear in the club so much. Like, enjoy it, but don't internalize it as, I got to do this to, I got to sound like this to be hot, because that, they were, the sound you're hearing in the club right now, that was recorded a year ago. You know what I'm saying?
2 years ago, maybe.
It's just hitting your ears now. So they're already in the studio working on the next sound that you're going to hear next year. So
it takes a year to a year and a half to break a song. Mm-hmm. I learned that in the industry.
I've been working with this artist from Riverside, California. His name's Surf, S-I-R-R-F. He got this song. It's crazy. I'll let you listen to it after this. But is that something you're interested in too?
Artists?
Like breaking a record? Is that something like you try to focus on? Or if you hear something, you're like, oh, this could
go. I haven't really got into breaking a record. Mm-hmm. But I'm into finding new talent, new artists, and developing new artists. You know what I'm saying? Like, I found some pretty dope artists in my day. And I feel like, not even I feel like, it's a fact that I've advanced them to another level. You feel me?
Whether they
admit it or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fact.
They don't want to give you a credit, man.
Yeah. It's a fact, man. Yeah.
I can only imagine. I mean,
it just comes from the level of musicality that I have. You feel me? Like, this shit is really like embedded in me. Like, nigga, I live and die for music. So
that's like what I said earlier. Like, I try to give people advice, like artist advice and shit, but I'm not musically like inclined. I'm just a fan. You know what I'm saying? So I tell people, like, take what I say as a grain of salt. But if it's coming from King Vay, that's a whole different conversation. You better take what the fuck he says serious.
No, I appreciate that.
For sure. I mean, you know, it's like you gotta have that confidence, and you know, just, and people gotta give you your credit, man. You know, you might.
I don't get credit.
You don't get credit? You don't feel like you get credit?
In Vegas, nah. People respect me because, like, they can't, you can't ignore shit. You feel me? Like, nigga, you can't ignore seeing me on TV or whatever. Like, you can't ignore shit.
Yeah.
But they don't fuck with it. Like, I think if somebody else was in my position, niggas will respect it or fuck with it more.
Why do you think that? You think this is a personal thing? They got it against you?
Or maybe, like, you came. You know what? Part of it, I'm not even gonna put it all on everybody else. Part of it is me, because I've always felt like I was a shit before anything happened for me musically. Before I've accomplished anything, like, I felt like I was a shit.
Well, that's a key ingredient in becoming successful.
I kind of probably rubbed a few people the wrong way because people don't know me. But the same people that I rubbed the wrong way, they come and meet me and they be like, oh, nigga, you the coolest nigga in the world. Like, I wouldn't have never thought.
Right. Well, look, man. Okay. When it comes to something that you love to do and that you know you're good at, you have that supreme confidence in music and you express that supreme confidence in music, that's going to, people that don't know who they are, don't love themselves, it's going to offend them. You know what I'm saying? Or don't have that confidence. But dude, you gotta have supreme confidence. And if you don't think Tom Brady thinks he's the hottest shit out?
Absolutely.
Come on, man. Like, absolutely. Come on, you gotta have it.
And you don't remember when they asked LeBron James if he felt like they was gonna win the finals after they was down like 3-1? He said, yeah, because I'm the greatest player on the planet. Come I'm on, the best man. Player on the come planet. On, man. You gotta feel that way.
You gotta feel that way. And if you're listening to that, and you know, you hear somebody say that about themselves, nothing to do with you, bro. Why do you feel offended by that?
Like, because I'm gonna tell you why. Because those niggas that feel that way, it's a self thing.
They're projecting their insecurities on you. Yeah,
their insecurity is on them because they know they're not what they're pretending to be.
Right.
Like, you know you're not the GOAT.
Right.
But you want everybody on social media to feel like you the GOAT. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that'd be really what it is. That's what I deal with out here. Niggas know they can't fuck with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, niggas know.
Yeah.
Period. Well, making beats and all of that. It's undeniable.
Your resume, you know, you don't have to say anything.
Listen, man. I swear. Without the resume, without anything, bro. Like, I done got this fucking, this Bel Air in me now, so I'm talking shit. But niggas can't really fuck with me, my nigga. Yeah, like, on some real shit. Like, nigga. Like, I can do whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go wherever.
Yeah.
You feel me? And, like, it's a lot of niggas that stuck in one lane or stuck on a certain vibe or some shit like that, so.
But you know what? That the belief in yourself and what you're saying right now is exactly what allows you to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
But it's facts, though.
Yeah, it is facts. You know what I'm saying? It's undeniable.
Listen, here's the thing. This is what I'm talking about. So, listen.
It's the same thing with jazz, bro.
Let's just talk about basketball.
Okay.
If we play basketball right now, and you shot the ball 100 times every day, and every fucking day out of 100 shots, you made 95.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta fucking know that nigga, my shot is wet, my nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
My shot is the shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I know Billy Joe down the street can't shoot better than me. Whether he can shoot, whether he make 50 out of the 100 or not, I'm making 95 every time.
Yeah.
That's not a I feel like I'm the better or nigga, you're the better person.
Yeah.
You feel me? So that's where I'm at with it, bro. Like,
it's not the fact that you're a better person. You're better at, like, you're better, like you're above anybody. You're just better at music.
I'm better at what I do. Yeah. I'm a human.
Yeah.
I'm not a better person than anybody.
Exactly.
We're all humans. Exactly. We're all the same person. But God has gifted me a little different than he's gifted some others.
And
you
put in the work.
And I put in work. I'm not afraid to sacrifice.
Come on, man. That's the biggest thing. Sacrifice, man. You know, and you know, it's like you're feeling yourself. That's what I got from Jazz too. That was the first time I met Jazz. You know, and you know, I'm from Vegas, so I watch everything. I've been watching everything, and Jazz, he you know, like, you do music full time. Jazz does music full time. Bro, if you were doing music full time, if I was doing music full time, I'd be feeling myself. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'd be feeling myself.
Jazz,
you know,
is my little bro. We're kind of cut from the same. You feel me? Mm-hmm. There's no way in the world Jazz gonna come in here and say anything different than I'm the motherfucking shit. I'm the best.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah,
and he has every right to.
For sure. When you got the resume, you know, when you got the resume, you let the work speak for itself. You could talk that shit. It's like Floyd. People hate Floyd, but it's like,
he's 50 and 0.
Come on, man. What are you gonna say about Floyd?
50 and 0, bro.
Nobody can beat him, of course.
He's 50 and 0. He beat everybody.
Just because you would get beat.
He beat everybody, bro. Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, that was such a great conversation, man. I think we should wrap this up, bro.
Man, come on, wrap it up, man.
King
I still
Bay.
Got some motherfucking Moet. What is this? Bel Air.
That's that Bel Air, man. I'm looking for that sponsorship. Come on.
I'm going to tell you what's funny, right? You know I don't drink.
Okay. You don't drink?
At all.
Oh, shit.
So I'm down here having fun like a motherfucker now.
Let's go, man.
Yeah, I don't drink, man. Shit, you was like, what? That's why I ain't say Hennessy or some shit like that. If I would have said Hennessy, I wouldn't have made it out of here.
That's hilarious.
For real. But this shit good, though.
No, it is. It is.
Bel Air, hook my boy up, man.
Come on,
what's going on?
Oh, man. I appreciate you pulling up, man. For real.
Anytime,
for real,
bro.
Like,
anytime.
Yeah,
man.
This is humbling for me because, you know, I look at myself as, I just love the city. I love my city. I love music. I want to be involved. And now, you know, I've been watching all you guys for so long. And, you know, for King Bay to come up here and fuck with Easy Mo on my show, man, it's humbling, bro. I'm honored to be here, man.
Like, I wanted to do this shit.
You feel me?
Like, I wanted to do this shit. We had a little miscommunication last time.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
It was me. Yeah. It wasn't you. It was me. Shit,
I figured you were smoking.
I was smoking, but I was smoking at an event.
Yeah,
I was
doing drop shops.
It was. Yeah, I was a judge, though. I was a judge for a rap battle, and I was stuck in judging. And
it's all good. It's all good. We're here.
And you know what? I thought it was 3:30 and it was 3.
Bro, I know.
Cause listen, I was in the car and I was like pulling up and I'm like, nigga, I'm like, it's 3:45, dog. You couldn't give me 15 minutes.
No, I know. I was like, man,
But
like,
it was 45 minutes. I understand.
You know, it's all good. Cause
because we're here. And
we're here, you know, and we did it.
Timing is everything.
Absolutely.
You know, and shit, you know what I mean? This is a beautiful thing, bro.
Man, call me for whatever. You know what you should do? You should do a Versus. You should do a Vegas Versus. I've been thinking about it, bro.
Listen,
I've been trying to get somebody to do it, man, because they can, listen.
Let's do it.
You should set up a Vegas Versus,
let's
man.
Let's do it.
Like,
and I'll host it?
Yeah, you host it. You got the perfect, you nigga, you got the perfect joint right
here.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You got the perfect
Damn.
Joint.
You think it'll go crazy? You think people tune
bro,
in?
Bro, listen. Listen.
Don't listen. Tell me that. Don't give me an idea, bro, because I'm going
to
go with it.
I've been trying to give this idea to somebody, man. Mm-hmm. Do a Vegas Versus. Have the best niggas of the best niggas up here. And that shit is going to go crazy.
Let's do it.
And not only that, let me tell you what else it's going to do. It's going to shine light on the city.
Yeah.
You have the best niggas of the city, my nigga, doing the verses. You know what Beyond the Neon is? You
heard? Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I started Beyond the Neon with Yards.
Shout out Yards, yep.
But it's the same thing. The reason why that shit took off and everybody wanted to see it is because all of the best niggas was a part of that shit. You feel me?
Right.
And niggas never seen that shit. If you do a verses, bro, I'm telling you. Let me listen. When we get off
we
camera,
we're
gonna talk about it, man. We do a Vegas Versus. I got the perfect lineups for you.
Oh,
I know what the city want to see, man.
Oh.
I know who the city want to see me go against for sure.
Damn, producer battle.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. Come on, producer battle. We gonna play these records.
Hey,
man.
I think it's only right.
It's only right.
You just got me amped.
Listen, man. That's gonna shut a lot of niggas' mouths.
Yeah. But it's also gonna you know. You know, shine light. It's a good thing.
It's gonna
too.
Shine light. That's what I'm saying. Because everybody's gonna tune into that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People gonna tap in. That's not even from Vegas.
How come nobody's done it yet?
Because niggas waiting on you, Easy. Come on, dog. That's why I'm here talking to you about it. Niggas waiting on you, man.
Yo, let's get it.
Hey, let's set it up, man. Shit, let's do that shit, bro. We can set that shit up. Vegas Versus. I'm putting it on easy, y'all.
Coming soon. Damn, you got my mind running. All right, bro. Let's wrap this up. I appreciate you, bro.
Man, love.
Much love, man. Whenever you want to come back, my door is always open. You know what I'm saying? Because I definitely want to revisit with you probably before the end of the year, just to, you know what I'm saying? Because I know you're going to make some moves.
Man, come on. Listen, my birthday in November.
Okay. So let's we'll do it. Let's come back
for my birthday.
Okay, for
by
sure.
By the time my birthday come, I'm going to have some shit to tell you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, bro. Till next time. Peace.
Yeah.
It's the E-Square Podcast. Peace.